RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. During today's bilateral meeting with Britain's Prime Minister, President Trump says they discuss ending the war in Ukraine and NATO members boosting their defense spending. The president also accepted an invite by King Charles to attend a British state dinner.
This is no doubt a delicate dance that you are seeing from the British Prime Minister and other European leaders. We heard plenty of pleasantries here today. They even extended that unprecedented invitation, as they characterized it, for a state dinner directly from the king himself.
ABC's Mary Bruce. President Trump will address lawmakers next week at a joint session of Congress. Democrats announcing Senator Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan will give the response. The latest round of layoffs happening today at NOAA. The agency is tasked with researching and projecting major weather events like hurricanes. And Pope Francis is improving but still remains in a Rome hospital. The Vatican today says the Pope continues to take part in oxygen therapy. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Congressman Derek Van Orden, as well as all of Wisconsin's Republican representatives, voted in favor of a House budget resolution. The measure passed by two votes, with all House Democrats voting against it and all but one Republican voting for it. Van Orden said that the budget resolution does not include cuts to programs such as Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, and anyone saying otherwise is lying. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan said the plan reduces funding for health care and food assistance. Hundreds of Wisconsinites gathered outside Senator Ron Johnson's office in Madison Tuesday to protest possible cuts to Medicaid in the Republican House budget proposal. Their budget proposal includes over $880 billion in cuts to the committee that oversees Medicaid. In Wisconsin and across the country, Republican representatives have faced spirited crowds at town halls, voicing their concerns over the potential cuts. Some have even agreed with their constituents that cuts to Medicaid programs would be a mistake. Republican state lawmakers are seeking co-sponsorship for legislation that would direct the Wisconsin Public Service Commission to conduct a study identifying potential locations for nuclear power plants. The study would seek to identify potential new sites and opportunities to expand nuclear power generation at existing facilities. The agency would also need to cut 30 days off of the standard 180-day approval process for facilities with an advanced nuclear reactor. Wisconsin currently has only one operational nuclear facility. Wisconsin has officially joined the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Milk Testing Strategy. The program is meant to track bird flu through raw milk samples as the highly contagious virus continues to spread across the country. Officials are still working to determine how and when testing will be conducted. The virus has not yet been detected in Wisconsin's dairy cows, but has appeared in a few bird flocks.
The Packers willing to trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where it's been reported the Packers are taking offers to trade away defensive back Jaire Alexander. He was a first-round pick for the Pack in 2018. Green Bay has not drafted a receiver in the first round in over 20 years. Why not? GM Brian Gutekunst.
You know, it's funny. It's never been like a philosophical thing we've talked about through my time in Green Bay. It's never been something, hey, like we don't want to take wide receivers in the first round. There are certainly opportunities we've had. We thought that was going to happen, and for whatever reason, it didn't. But at the same time, we've had a lot of second-round receivers that have been pretty good players for us.
NBA, the Bucks face the Denver Nuggets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Brook Lopez on defending Denver center Nikola Jokic.
But, you know, I'll be on the point of attack a bit, doing my job, just try to be physical with him, make things as difficult as possible as you can for him, and trusting I got my teammates behind me.
That's the Bucks' Brook Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, a low close to 30 and becoming breezy. Wind advisory for tomorrow, gusts higher than 40 miles an hour at times, maybe a rain or snow shower, highs near 50. Cooler 30s for the weekend, but still mild for this time of year. It's 46 right now.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home, That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, and we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Chwaba.
Oh, such a somber day, but we are going to try to... We're going to try to make people happy anyway, despite the death of a Hollywood legend and an entertainment business titan, Gene Hackman. Hackman passed away yesterday. Today, Thursday? Yeah, yesterday at the age of 95. They found Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy, and their dog all had passed away, and they had been dead for a while, and they're thinking, at least the most recent news I heard was that it was a carbon monoxide issue. So what a weird way to go. You make it to 95 years old, and then that's how you die. Shocking. And it's sad because of that. And he's contributed so much to the world in his 95 years. So we'll talk about Gene Hackman a little bit. Lots to get to. A really fun show, despite how I opened it there, Conrad. You look sad. Did I make you sad?
Yeah, you made me a little sad.
Sorry, man. Sometimes we just gotta man up like a Gene Hackman character. Really fun show tonight, folks. Glad you're here. Wherever you're joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin, welcome to Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. I am Pete Chwaba. Riding shotgun as always is the lovable producer Conrad, and we've got. I'm very excited about our guest tonight. It's Thursday, which means we're doing our popcorn pick of the week. Tonight, to make said pick, is a guy I've wanted to have on the show for quite a while, and I've had him on before, but I've wanted to get him back here because he's just so much fun to talk to. Writer Rich Tallarico. Writer-performer, I should say. Rich is also, he's got a phenomenal writing resume. Mad TV, Saturday Night Live, Key and Peele is where he is. I think he probably did his most recognized work. He wrote the substitute teacher sketch. The Black Ice sketch, which is very funny. He wrote a sketch about President Obama meeting dignitaries that is legendary. And Rich will be here at 6:35 to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that he's got going on. Very exciting stuff, too. And he's always fun to talk to. So you won't want to miss that. At 7:35, Rob Thomas, who you might remember from last night's show, joins Nightlight to discuss Gene Hackman's legacy. So Rob was nice enough to come back on the show, and we'll have a little discussion about Gene Hackman and rank our favorite Gene Hackman films. So that will be fun. We've got a lot to get to. There's a lot going on in the world. There's new films opening this week. I almost don't know where to start, but let's start with our question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Gene Hackman film? You can't really put a question out there like this for most actors because they don't have the body of work he does. But Gene Hackman... The Poseidon Adventure, Bonnie and Clyde, The Conversation, Mississippi Burning, The French Connection, Hoosiers, Enemy of the State. The Royal Tenenbaums, The Quick and the Dead. The guy has got a resume that is just, I don't want to say unparalleled, but pretty close. Like he's won two Oscars. He won for Unforgiven in a supporting role, and he won for The French Connection, his portrayal of Popeye Doyle, the no-nonsense cop, which that phrase was probably coined because of his role in The French Connection. So Gene Hackman, what is your favorite Gene Hackman film? Very simple question tonight, folks, and there's so many to choose from. You can reach us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app if that's easier. There's a little icon right next to whatever station you're listening to Nightlight on. You can just click the text icon and fire away and let us know. Also, let people know if they're watching on the stream, Conrad. How can they do that and how can they reach us?
Yeah, so if you want to join us on Facebook, it's WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW, or Twitter or X, WGBW or Civic Media.
Find us any way you can. Just find us. I would love to read what your favorite Gene Hackman film was. He is an absolute legend. Been retired since 2004. His last film was Welcome to Mooseport, and his doctor apparently told him his heart couldn't handle the stress. So let's see. He died when he was 95. That was about 75. He was probably 75 when he retired. Still a great run. Four decades of movie making, theater. He was a Marine. I think he was in the Marines for 5 years. Got out, wanted to learn how to act. Met Dustin Hoffman, and the two became friends. And then they became friends with Robert Duvall, all young actors in New York City, as well as in Pasadena, California. They got training at the Pasadena Playhouse. Just a great story. His second wife, Betsy, who they found in the same house. That was interesting, too. None of them, the dog, Gene, or his wife, Betsy, were in the same room. Like, it just kind of came over them. It sure seems like it was like a carbon monoxide situation, but we'll have to wait for the official results. But she was a classically trained pianist, too. So a lot of talent in that house, and it's too bad. But let us know your favorite. Let's celebrate him tonight. Let's celebrate Gene Hackman. What is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? That is our question of the night. Great to have you with me. Rich Tallarico here at 6:35. Rob Thomas drops by again to talk Gene Hackman at 7:35. I wanted to get to this, too, because every once in a while, I kind of forget about this. Do you know when we're on overnight, Conrad? I know they play the replay. Is it at 4 to 6, 4 a.m. to 6?
Yep.
Okay. So we got a text like in the middle of the night. I know some people listen then if they get up earlier, if they're driving a truck or whatever. But Bud from Janesville, he's in the 608. He says, hey, Pete and Conrad, hands down, it's trimming my nails. He says, see what I did there? Our question last night was what bodily grooming function do you least like to do? And that was a fun question, too. And Bud says, trimming his nails. Thank you for listening at ungodly hours, Bud. I hope we make your morning a little more fun. And I saw this today. This cracked me up. I joined Blue Sky about a month ago, maybe a little longer. And I'm kind of seeing different people in the community. And there's this girl, Mariana 057, Mariana Z. I don't know her, but this cracked me up. This was something she put out on Blue Sky. It says, if you watch Jaws backwards, it is a heartwarming story about a shark giving out limbs to the disabled. Oh, that was great.
You could say that about like any like horror film.
I suppose
then, too.
So. Yeah.
Like a Saw. He's rewarding them.
He's putting the parts back on.
Yeah.
It's very, it is. It's heartwarming. That's great. Thank you, Mariana Z. Thank you, random Blue Sky user who I don't know, but who I'm glad I discovered because she had a lot of funny stuff. Oh, we have already got some text rolling, and this is great. Okay, so Gene Hackman is, what is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? Is our role or movie, whatever you want to say is fine. Bill from Green Bay says, such a movie legend and so many great roles. One that comes to mind is Mississippi Burning. Bill, that is my favorite. And part of it is because I like the character so much. But I agree with you. That might be my favorite role Gene Hackman was in. And he wasn't really necessarily, I mean, he was kind of the lead, but Willem Dafoe played the younger, clean-cut FBI agent who was more by the book. I loved the dynamic between Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe. Just two great roles. And the Gene Hackman role was, he was like an old school Southerner who was a, you know, FBI agent who did things a little old school, not necessarily by the book, but also got results. That was a great movie. Anna from Madison, that's the 608. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Gene Hackman movie was Bonnie and Clyde. He received his first Oscar nomination for supporting actor for that movie. He sure did, Anna. That was a great role as well. That's up there on my list as well. He played opposite Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. And I'm his, the girl that played his love interest is escaping me, but I will figure that out. But a great film and kind of inspired a lot of other robbery movies and about gangsters and stuff like that too. So that's a great choice. Thank you for the text. Brian in Milwaukee says Birdcage and both of the French Connections. That's interesting because I know French Connection was fairly well received. It wasn't like some of these sequels from legendary films that don't add up. I know a lot of people that liked the French Connection too. I think I saw it, but I just don't remember it. And the Birdcage I saw years ago, and I feel like all I remember from that movie is Robin Williams. That's how overpowering Robin Williams can be. He can upstage Gene Hackman. And Nathan Lane's hilarious too, but I should give Birdcage a rewatch. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite Gene Hackman film, Young Frankenstein. God, again, I saw that movie probably 35 years ago. I need to rewatch it because I've seen online a few people posting about how funny Gene Hackman was in Young Frankenstein as well. So keep those texts coming, folks. These are great. What is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? We are trying to honor the late, great Gene Hackman with this question of the night. Rich Tallarico is here. He's a Key & Peele writer at 635. Didn't Rich tell us last time, Conrad, that his substitute teacher sketch was in the Smithsonian, I think.
Yeah.
They took that because it was so funny. And they, I don't know, I guess they wanted to immortalize it. And it's great. So Rich is a great Second City trained comedian and actor. He'll be here at 635. Rob Thomas drops by at 735 to talk about Gene Hackman. And, you know, so much was going on last night. I never got to talk about the show A Grandpa in My Pocket, which is so weird. And I thought it was really weird because the picture, it looked like he was in like the kid's pants pocket, which is beyond creepy, but it was like a breast pocket type thing. And the kid could consult his grandpa if he needed him. It was such a bizarre show from the UK, and I thought I even had a clip, but I just kind of got lost. All right, maybe I never sent it to you. Did I send you a Grandpa in the Pocket clip?
I don't remember something like that.
And you would?
I think I would have, yeah.
All right, so we've got a lot going on. Great to have you guys part of the show. I read a couple texts from the overnight broadcast. If you listen overnights, that's fantastic too. Whenever you listen, it's great to have you. Give us a like or a follow if you're on Facebook or Twitter, X, Blue Sky, whatever. We need to talk about Reacher. We're going to hear a little bit about, we're going to play a scene that our guest Rich Tallarico was in from the movie High Fidelity with Jack Black. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Millburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 540 49 registered voters, and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Milburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Milburn residents as Milburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Milburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Milburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165-138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide, and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections, despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Get up, folks. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you.
Jim from Appleton giving me some clarification on Gene Hackman's role in Young Frankenstein. He says he was the blind guy who befriended the monster because he was lonely. That's right. I gotta watch that again. Thanks, Jim. Anna from Madison says, Pete, Estelle Parsons, yes, played Gene Hackman's wife in Bonnie and Clyde. She won a Best Supporting Actress for her role. Thank you for the assist, Anna. I was completely blanking. It might have taken me a while to figure that out, but a great text. Thanks. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, despite Gene Hackman's mean disposition in the movie Unforgiven, he was one hell of a carpenter. I'm sure that's an inside joke about Unforgiven, but it's been so long since I've seen that too. Please, Tyler, explain if you would. He played a great mean guy. In The Quick and the Dead, he was fantastic. He played Leonardo DiCaprio's father, and they have a gun battle in this little town. I've seen that movie. Maybe I've seen that twice, but it's been years. Sharon Stone plays one of the other gunfighters, and nobody can beat Gene Hackman. And it's such a great movie. Sam Raimi directed it. And I'll just say this. Gene Hackman ends up facing off his own son, Leonardo DiCaprio, in a draw. And it's great. And it's shot well. And it's a really fun movie. But Gene Hackman played a really good mean guy. Bridget from the 818 says, Hoosiers, one of the best movies ever made. Drama, great acting, excitement, the best. Hard to disagree with that. Would you agree with that, Conrad?
I've seen that movie so many times, and it's just a great story, you know?
Yeah. One of those movies, too, that has, like, well, it's got the underdog thing, which is great, but the music is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The acting, even the kids, like the basketball players, you got Dennis Hopper, Gene Hackman, Barbara Hershey. Really good movie.
It's like, I believe that's one of the movies that I saw, and it's like, I want to play basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. That's how it is when you're a kid, when you see a movie like that, it's like, if you see Rocky, I'm going to start boxing. You see Hoosiers, I got to play some hoops. Stacy Sue checks in on the stream. Willy Wonka.
I think she...
Wow. I don't think that's right.
Gene Wilder.
That's okay, Stacy Sue. Willy Wonka was a fine movie, and Gene Wilder was born in Milwaukee. So we welcome the contribution. Thank you very much, Stacy Sue. I went home last night. I have two films to see before the Oscars. I have to see The Brutalist and I Am Here. I'm looking forward to seeing The Brutalist, but obviously I'm going to have to carve out time. That's almost 4 hours. So I'll probably watch it incrementally between now and Sunday. And last year it came down to the wire too. I saw, was it Stranger Things? No, that's the TV show. What was the show? What was the movie? I gotta look that up. But I saw that film was the last one I had to see before the Oscars, and I saw it. I think they released it on streaming just that morning. It was the film with Willem Dafoe and Emma Stone. So it's probably going to happen this year too. I still have to see The Brutalist, and I'm still here because I saw Nickel Boys last night, and I will say, just a gut-wrenching movie. Loved the story, and there was some really clever stuff. But it was shot weird. They used like this first person where the actors look right at the camera. And that, I have to say, that kind of took me out of it at times. But really an incredible story and a good movie. I totally see it was like made for an Oscar nomination. But the director took some chances and it was definitely interesting. I don't know that I liked all of them, but what do I know? I did really enjoy the story, and it was heart-wrenching, very hard to watch at times. Not that it was violent, but the way these kids were treated at this reform school in Florida, the Nickel Academy or whatever it was called, thus the title The Nickel Boys, was based on a true story. Just crazy stuff. How many of the films have you seen, Conrad?
Anora.
That's it?
Okay. I can't think of any other... I really want to see Dune 2, but it's the part of me that's like, I don't know if I want to sit down for 3 hours.
That's a long one too, yeah. It is entertaining, I will say that. You'll be entertained. Poor Things, that's the one I was trying to think of.
I tried watching Wicked, and I don't know. It's just not my forte in movies.
Yeah.
It's just, we got a comment on the stream that's about Gene. The movie The Replacements.
Where is that? Is that on the stream? Or
yeah.
The-
Brian said, let's not forget about The Replacements.
Oh, The Replacements, yeah.
That Brian movie is so funny. That movie is hilarious.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Okay. I'll add that to the list.
It is.
Was that the Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Yeah, they're so like strike players or something like
football.
That.
It's about football.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That is one of my favorite like comedy sports movies.
All right, so you've seen more than one Gene Hackman movie.
And I've seen Superman. I forgot he played Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor, that's right. Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete. My favorite Gene Hackman movie was Gypsy. I think he means moths, right? Let's Google. Moths or months? I don't remember. For some reason, I'm Gypsy Moths. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, it was just a typo. But Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete. My favorite Gene Hackman movie was Gypsy Moths. You could almost feel Hackman pull his tie off as he tells Burt Lancaster to pull his parachute. Jim from Brookfield. Thank you, Jim. That's a great one. I love when we get the offbeat ones because I'm expecting a lot of the famous Gene Hackman films. But the offbeat ones are great too, like The Replacements and Gypsy Moths. Do we have time to tease Rich's appearance with that High
Fidelity?
Yeah,
we could do the High Fidelity clip.
All right, this is our next guest. He's coming up after the news. A great sketch writer and writer in general, Rich Tallarico. He was an actor in the film High Fidelity, and we found this scene that he did with Jack Black years ago.
Especially on CD, yet another cruel trick played on all the who got rid of their turntables. But every other Echo and the Bunnymen album.
Yeah, I have all the other ones.
Oh, you do? Well, how about the Jesus and Mary chant?
Yeah, they always seem.
They always seemed what? They always seemed really great, is what they always seemed. They picked up where your precious Echo left off, and you're sitting around complaining about no more Echo albums. I can't believe you don't own this record. That's insane. Jesus. You don't have it? That is perverse. Don't tell anybody you don't own Blonde on Blonde. It's going to be okay.
I think the thing I miss the most about record stores are snooty record store employees that think they know everything about music. Brilliant. All right. Rob Thomas is here at 7:35. The great Madison film critic will be discussing the legacy of Gene Hackman coming up after the news. He's a fantastic writer, folks. Rich Tallarico joins us. He's written on Key and Peele, SNL, Mad TV, you name it, he's done it. He's here. Always fun to talk to Rich. That's coming up after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Social Security Administration Tuesday announced the closing of a component within the agency, the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity. Employees in the office were put on administrative leave effective immediately. Lee Dudek, Acting Commissioner of Social Security, said, quote, "Our focus is supporting President Trump's priorities, which include streamlining functions and prioritizing essential work. Terminating the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity and reassigning statutory responsibilities performed by this office advances the president's goal to make all of government more efficient in serving the American public," end quote. SSA will transfer responsibility for processing equal employment opportunity complaints, reasonable accommodation requests, and other statutorily required functions to other SSA components to ensure compliance with existing legal authorities. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and a group of her colleagues demanded answers from the Social Security Administration regarding the recent turmoil at the agency as Elon Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency embed themselves and gain access to Wisconsinites' most sensitive personal information. Baldwin and the lawmakers wrote, "Providing access to personally identifiable information on hundreds of millions of Americans stored by SSA to DOJ employees without a legitimate reason and in apparent disregard for privacy laws, regulations, and procedures, raises serious concerns about the security of that data and what DOJ plans to do with it." The letter seeks answers from Acting Commissioner Dudek about DOJ's activities at SSA, including whether the acting commissioner has disclosed any sensitive personal or financial information to any unauthorized persons outside SSA. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope, has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, a low close to 30 and becoming breezy. Wind advisory for tomorrow, gusts higher than 40 miles an hour at times, maybe a rain or snow shower, highs near 50. Cooler 30s for the weekend, but still mild for this time of year. It's 46 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Don't come easy. Got to pay your dues if you want to see the blues.
Gene Hackman was very good in The Poseidon Adventure. He sure was. That's on my list. I think that tied for fifth, just because I was so young and impressionable when I saw The Poseidon Adventure. And I remember him hanging from that wheel, and his hands were like on fire, and he was trying to open something so everybody could escape. And that stayed with me. It was a great role for Gene Hackman. He played a priest. Keep those texts coming. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Gene Hackman movie? Pretty straightforward. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Always good when you guys participate. Right now, I am very excited to welcome my next guest. He is a writer who has written for Key and Peele, Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, and he's agreed to make our popcorn pick of the week. He's a sketch comedy legend, and he joins us here on the stream, Rich Tallarico. Hey, buddy.
Yo, Mr. Pete. It's so good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for agreeing to come back. I get very few repeat customers, so you're on the list, and it feels good to see you again.
My pleasure, sir.
Yeah. So let's start with the popcorn pick of the week. I want to ask you, how do you prefer to watch movies, Rich? Do you like to be in a crowded theater, an empty theater, in the comfort of your own home? What's your approach?
Well, that's such a good question, Pete, and I'm so happy to chime in. I think there's, a couple of ways. I mean, I remember seeing Pulp Fiction in October of 1994 when it came out, with a packed theater and, maybe 200 people in Chicago, and everybody was all still geared up from Reservoir Dogs, and the music started and the Band Apart logo came on the screen. It was just so electric, and the scenes were knocking us out, the adrenaline scene, and the just everything was incredible. So that might be my number one in the theater experience. But generally, you don't, that doesn't happen that much anymore. And I'm not a big, Marvel person, no offense to anybody that is, but, it doesn't really, get me going as much. So I have a, I have a projector that I use at home that,
sweet. Creates
a, you get the blackout curtains going and, you make your popcorn. I do like to get immersed in the movie. I don't like, checking my phone during it. I want to just, watch a great film. And I spent a lot of time on Criterion Channel in the last few years, catching up on a lot of the classics that I hadn't seen. And there's still so many more to see, but.
Same. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I'm the same way. Like, even with Gene Hackman, I'm realizing I've seen all his big hits, but there's so much of his work I still haven't seen either. And if I went to Criterion, it'd be the same situation. And I want to share a story with you. Speaking of Pulp Fiction, I was working the road doing stand up, and I was in Indianapolis when that came out. And the other comic and I went to see it. His name was Mick Lozinski. And there's like eight people in the theater. It's the middle of the afternoon. And the film goes nonlinear. After Travolta gets blown away, I don't know if you remember that, he comes back and all of a sudden he's got the gun. He's still in the shorts.
Right.
And we had seen that he died. There's this guy sitting a couple rows away from us. And he goes, "What the? Wait a minute. What's going on here?" He's saying this for the whole theater, Rich. I'm like, dude, like, he thought they made an editing mistake or something and the print went out. It's like, come on, trust these guys. Well, yeah, it's Quentin Tarantino.
Well, I went to the bathroom during Interstellar, and I came back, everybody in the theater was 7 years older. So I get it when you're confused at the movies. I get it.
Hang on to your youth, buddy. That's great. So Rich, what's your favorite snack? Whether you're at the theater or at home, and I'm with you, I like to watch a movie, and I watch it at home, but I'm like you, I'll play video poker or I'll check for texts or whatever. But what do you like to eat? Like, what's your favorite movie snack?
I'm going to be uncontroversial here, but I like to make popcorn on the stove. I like to burn it a little bit, maybe with a root beer.
And, nice.
Something sweet to go after it. But, the mistake I make in the theater is I buy like the super big popcorn, 'cause I think I'm going to, need it for 3 hours straight. And, after you get like halfway down one of those big buckets, it's a different product, right? It's just like tiny crumbles. It's all cold. It's like, what happened to, where's the butter? Where's the heat? So it's always, I think I got to remind myself when I go to the regular movies to get, but I have a friend, by the way, that does, she brings like a charcuterie board.
To the movies?
Yes.
Oh, like, nice. So
go to, like, you know, the grocery store and buy one of those things with, like, you know, 100 pepperonis and cheese and crackers. And I'm like, that's actually a great way to do it. And so that might be my next time. But I haven't been to the actual physical movies in a while. That's because of the restraining order, though.
Well, I was going to ask you how you snuck a charcuterie board. I can see sneaking a soda in, but the restraining order is a more interesting question. So
you have to pretend you're an artist and have like a fake portfolio or something.
Yeah, right. All right. I think we're ready. Conrad, drum roll, please. We're ready to get our guest, Rich Tallarico's Popcorn Pick of the Week. It is coming up after this. Mr. Tallarico, your Popcorn Pick of the Week.
Now, we talked about a couple of possibilities, but there's a movie that I want to say because I think a lot of people might not have seen it. So can I throw out one that maybe we hadn't talked about
Absolutely.
Before?
Yeah.
I want to pick Billy Wilder's Ace in the Hole.
Oh, right.
Which is a Kirk Douglas movie, and he plays this kind of down-and-out reporter from like the big city. I think he's from New York or something. And he winds up in some small dusty town and, you know, out in the Southwest. And he just, you know, is just getting any job he can get. And he starts at the bottom at this kind of tiny paper. But then there's a person that gets caught in a cave-in at one of the local caves. Huh. And he starts filing stories about this, and it becomes this kind of big story for him. And he's selling all kinds of stories to the big paper now. And there's this kind of questionable thing where he doesn't necessarily, and the local town is also profiting off of the hoopla of rescuing the guy, that maybe they don't rescue them as fast as they could.
Huh.
And, you know, maybe they're trying not to rescue him that quickly because they're enjoying the benefits of the carnival that's created by his being stuck. And it's one of these great movies, too, where there's not really a bad guy. He's kind of the good guy and the bad guy. So I really love that movie. I know it's not going to be one that everybody knows, but it was such a delight to me. And I got on a Billy Wilder kick after that. So
I haven't seen that. I love when people recommend films I haven't seen. Billy Wilder, of course, who did. I love the movie Sunset Boulevard. So I'll have to check this out. That's great. That's a great pick. Did you say it another one too, Rich?
Well, if I had another pick.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said you were deciding between two, but that's fine. Oh, that's a great pick.
Well, no, sure. No, I think. Let's let that stand. I mean, I also love the films of John Huston, and Treasure of the Sierra Madre is maybe my favorite.
Oh,
John Huston.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, I want to live in that movie.
Dude, I have been on such a film noir kick lately.
I love it.
I'm just devouring them, and they're so great. And I saw Sierra Madre probably a couple years ago after not having seen it for like 30 years. So that's a phenomenal movie.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very cool. Well, this is so much fun having you here. My guest is Rich Tallarico. He has written for Key and Peele, Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, Sketchpad, a comedy show that didn't get much pub, but I really enjoyed Sketchpad. I saw several episodes.
Yeah. Now, I did, I think, one of the inaugural episodes of that. It was an HBO thing, and I think it was the guy that went on to produce Everybody Loves Raymond, like, before he did that.
Oh,
and
okay.
In the versions that I did, I think it might have been like the pilot of it. They had different comedy groups from all over. So it was like the Groundlings and Second City and
very
stuff
nice.
Like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you told me earlier, Rich, that you had the opportunity to meet Gene Hackman in Santa Fe in the 90s.
Yes.
Please tell us about that.
I will. And rest in peace, Gene. I mean, I don't want to spoil your next guest and go into all of his great films, but
there's
so many. But, you know, between Hoosiers and Mississippi Burning, and what's the one he did with Melanie Griffith? It was her first movie. I'm forgetting the name of it. But anyway, big, huge, obvious impression. So it was 1996, speaking of Second City, and we were touring. We were in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And it was right around the time, or maybe it was even 97, early 97, 96, something like that. But the Second City actor, Severn Darden, who was in some of the Planet of the Apes stuff and had just been, you know, a great creator at Second City and one of the founders. His widow came to see us. He had just passed away. So we're all, you know, after the show, we all go out in the audience. We're all fawning over the widow Darden. You know, we're like, oh gosh, you know, Severn Darden meant so much to us and this and that. And then the stage manager comes over and whispers that Gene Hackman is backstage. And we've left the poor widow Darden in a cloud of dust.
It probably would have understood.
Yeah, I was like, sorry. And we went backstage, and I remember looking into Gene's eyes when we met him, and his eyes were this just so powerful blue. And he was so, I mean, I don't really get starstruck, and I've worked with a lot of people from SNL and stuff like that, but I was totally starstruck. I mean, this was Lex Luthor, you know, standing right in front of me. And he was very complimentary. And then a Second City guy named Aaron Rhodes, who lived in New Mexico at the time, was friends with Gene, because Gene was, you know, not pretentious. He would, like, take pottery classes and be involved in Santa Fe life. So, you know, Aaron Rhodes walked backstage because, you know, he went with Gene or whatever. And he's just like, hey, Gene, how you doing? You know, like, it was just very casual.
Wow.
So very down-to-earth guy. And, you know, I know he had 20 years of retirement. And I got to say, I'm so concerned over these circumstances of his death. I hope that gets looked into. I just felt like, you know, the news wasn't really asking a lot of questions.
So. Right. I mean, I don't know what happened either, but it seems like it has to be that, right? That they found them in different rooms in kind of strange circumstances. Like, I think the wife was in the bathroom next to a heating duct, and he was in, I read about it this morning, but I'm like, it was just so odd. And why would anybody want to bump off a 95-year-old Hollywood legend? I hope there's nothing like that behind this, but the film talking about, Rich, was Night Moves.
Yes.
I just looked it up.
That's kind of a modern... Yeah, modern noir, and he plays a detective. And
I have not seen that. I'm going to put that on my list. I might watch that tonight, actually.
He's very good. Like, he just does, like, from 0 to 100 really well. Like,
yes.
When he gets explosive, it's very powerful.
Boy, that's a great point. It's nice to hear he was down to earth, too. Like, was he at your show?
Yeah, he came to see the show. Man. But, you know, like, he just lived in Santa Fe, and he loved it. And, you know, he was involved in the community, and he did things. Like I said, I think he was in a pottery class with this guy, Aaron, who we knew from Second City.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's fantastic. But, do you have a favorite film?
Of Gene's?
Yeah.
If I had to pick right now without really doing a deep dive, I would probably have to say Mississippi Burning.
Yeah, same.
Because the scene, there's so many satisfying scenes where he's like beating up these racists and and trapping them, the way he traps them. I thought, and, you know, no spoilers, but I thought that was so clever and just really well done. And I love Willem Dafoe in that movie, too.
That scene between the two of them where they come out and they're arguing because Frances McDormand had just been beaten up by one of the racist guys, and they kind of fight, and you think Gene Hackman is this big tough guy, and he is, and then Dafoe does this move and gets Hackman down and pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, not only do I have the right, I have the authority to do this stuff. And it's just such a phenomenal scene between two great actors. But I'm with you. That's my favorite Hackman film.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that, you know, all scenes are like power grabs. And that movie definitely has tons of that energy throughout it.
And in the film, too, there's the great, I think he's a DePaul grad, Michael Rooker. Plays the main kind of redneck guy.
Yes.
He was great too, and Hackman and him had a great scene, so that's a great choice. But
how much time do we have? Can I tell you quickly one more thing?
We have a lot of time. Yeah, we were gonna do a quick break. Conrad, are we okay here? We got about a minute till a break, and then we'll come back and we'll have some more time. Rich, you're dime your dance floor, buddy.
Okay,
thanks. All right, very cool. So we're talking with Rich Tallarico is here. We're going to talk about, I can't wait to ask you about Rachel Dratch, Rich. That I am such a fan of hers. And we, if we can, I'd love to play the Black Ice sketch. Very funny. Love that. And get your take on that as well. Rich has, he started screenwriting, doing stand-up. We got a lot to talk about. And he's here with us on the stream. Rob Thomas drops by at 7:35. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Hi, this is Jenny Slate, and you are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
Welcome back. My guest is Rich Tallarico. Rich is a legendary sketch writer of Key and Peele, Saturday Night Live, Mad TV. He's an actor, Second City alum, and it's always great to have him on the show. Rich, in our exchange earlier, well, you wanted to say something before the break, so why don't you go ahead?
No.
Maybe it's the same thing.
Well, probably, maybe. Maybe not, though, but I was just reminded because when Michael Rooker came up, and this, you know, this was just something kind of fun that, you know, one of my first experiences in Chicago. And, you know, you're so nice to say legendary because you and Dwayne Kennedy and Mike Lucas, you know, you guys were the legendary comics of Chicago, you know, when I got there. And so one of my first experiences in Chicago, after I quit my day job and I didn't have the job at Second City, I got a job being a stand-in on a horror movie called Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, yeah.
Part two. Okay. So this was part two. Right. So Michael Rooker was the star of part one. And part two, the star was a guy named Neil Giantoli, who was in Shawshank Redemption, probably most famously as one of the dudes in the group of guys, you know?
Yeah.
And he was the star. He was playing Henry in the sequel. And at that point, I never even saw the first Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, which I do not recommend. It's extremely brutal. It's like Clockwork Orange, but kind of worse. You know, it's very, very heavy.
Makes Clockwork Orange look whimsical.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes Clockwork Orange look like Red Lobster. I mean, it is just, but you know, so we're on this movie and I was standing in, and the stand-in is basically you dress like the other actor and you're there for the lighting, basically.
Right.
They light the shot with the stand-in. So I was standing in for a guy named Rich Komenick. And my friend Neil McNamara, who you might know, an improv guy,
was standing,
Chicago Neil McNamara. I mean, there's probably a million guys that sound like Neil McNamara, but Neil's terrific. He was standing in for Neil Giantoli. So it was Neil and Rich. And we were dressed like these two guys. And we would just improvise lines and make the crew laugh. So the mood on this horror movie was so light because Neil and I were just breaking up the whole time. Like they had a severed head scene. So we were like doing bits with the head. And I felt bad for the director because there were so many times he would like rip off his headphones because we'd have everybody in stitches. He'd be like, doesn't it ever stop? So we had a very light, levity filled. And we also gained a ton of weight because all we did was eat craft services.
Oh my gosh.
Would just stand around and eat and just do the lighting shots. But I had a lot of fun. And it's really where I kind of fell in love with filmmaking. You're just watching a group of people work together and get it done. I was really kind of, you know, romanced by that whole experience for sure.
That's so great. I have this kind of a Michael Rooker story. I made this film called The Godfather of Green Bay. And we had Patrick Warburton was scheduled to be the title character, and he had to bail because Lauren Holly was in the film too, and she changed her dates, and we kept Lauren. So we were scrambling to find a Godfather of Green Bay, Big Jake Norquist, and the producer hands me the phone. He goes, Michael Rooker wants to be in the film. I'm like, okay, he'd be great. You know, he's a really scary dude when he wants to be. So I'm talking to him, and he wanted to be a different role where the guy was 25 years younger. He was like age. And I was like, I'm like on the phone with this guy who I really admire. And I'm like, well, he could tell by my reaction. He just kind of bailed on the whole conversation. He's like, yeah, I got to pick up my kid at football practice, but let's keep talking. I was like, okay. And he hung up and I never talked to him again.
Wow.
But he's a really good actor.
Interesting. Yeah. Like, how do you handle that? Do you just say, okay, let's make it work? I mean, you were right, you know?
Yeah, it would not have worked. And that kind of sucked, you know, because you got to tell this guy, it's like, oh man, I really like you, but I don't even know if you read the script based on what you're saying, you know? Anyway.
Right.
So Rich, you talked about Rachel Dratch. You guys both were part of the Andy Richter podcast. This just sounded like such a fun thing. I love Rachel Dratch. Debbie Downer is one of my all-time favorite SNL characters. Tell us what happened. You said you were given a film to novel project where the actor reads a novelization. You did Dirty Dancing with Rachel Dratch. Did I get that right?
Yeah. The project is called The Novelizers, and I think they're in their third season. And I believe Rachel in my episode will kick off the new season, which I think is going to be March 10th.
Oh, nice.
And it's Andy Richter's deal. And basically they take a screenplay and they chop it up into, you know, several parts, and they hand off parts to different writers who literally write a novelization as if it were, you know, obviously a book. And then, you know, different actors read those chapters. So I partnered with Rachel because Rachel and I had worked together at Second City in Chicago. And we also worked together at SNL. So I, you know, worked with her a few times. And I will say, and I think other people have backed me up on this, that Rachel was so funny at Second City. Like, people would be pounding the tables, pounding the stage. I mean, we all got good laughs, but she would just destroy.
Wow.
And she really knew how to, like, hold the crowd in the palm of her hand. And just truly one of the great comic people of our time. So I'm so glad I get to work with her, and this should be a really fun thing. And it kind of ties into our movie night too, because basically I novelized Dirty Dancing, and it's kind of fun because you basically just do like a Mad Magazine version of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, very nice. Andy Richter is a interesting guy. Like, he's kind of a comedy legend, isn't he? But he was like a sidekick to Conan. I don't know. He kind of fascinates me. But Rich, can we keep you for a few extra minutes after the news?
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Fantastic. We're going to talk about, we got a lot to get to. Key and Peele. We should just make this a mini series, I think. Rich will be here.
Sure. I'm down.
Next couple weeks.
I love Civic Media.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. We'll be right back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. I'm Beach Waba. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night edition of Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baby, here she comes now. Walking with a love that's so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. You'll never walk alone. And you're forever talking on the phone.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day, and we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sieverton. The mass firings of probationary employees and federal agencies are likely unlawful, says a federal judge in San Francisco, saying the Office of Personnel Management has no authority. The judge ordered the head of personnel to testify in court in 2 weeks. After meeting with the British Prime Minister at the White House talking about the Russia-Ukraine war, President Trump was asked if he supports Article 5 of NATO, that an attack on one member is an attack on all.
I support it. I don't think we're going to have any reason for it. I think we're going to have a very successful peace, and I think it's going to be a long-lasting peace, and I think it's going to happen hopefully quickly.
An investigation in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where Gene Hackman and his wife were found dead inside their home along with one of their three dogs yesterday. Sheriff says there are no signs of foul play. Pope Francis still improving from double pneumonia, says the Vatican. This is ABC News.
Between all the holidays.